Anyway, thank you so much for being here with us on this Friday. Final hour of the day, final hour of the week. Damian Barling along with Jason Ross. No Ken Rudolph today, who will be back with us on Monday. Thank you for all the texts flying in here. Thank you to the Parlor. It's an ice cream shot on Watt and Fair Oaks. They're listening to us in the store.
Is that right?
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Normally you have, like, pop music playing in an ice cream shop. Yeah. They got us rolling.
Oh, hey. Stop by there.
Probably clean up the language.
Yeah.
Sorry about
watch
that.
Ourselves.
Sorry about that, folks. Getting ice cream. Clean it up a little bit here for you. If you miss any part of today's show, and I'm kidding. We would never say anything inappropriate on this show.
You sure?
Especially with Ken gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. Never miss a single episode. Have them delivered right to your phone. You can also like us on Facebook and follow everything on KHTK.com. You know what was cool? We were talking about the autographs and Tom Brady and what he's charging and all of that stuff. A lot of people responded to that. And what's cool about the autographs people have here that they responded to on the text line 441140 isn't really the autograph, but the story that goes with the
exactly.
autograph.
That's
like, I think it's great here. We got one that said, I got an autograph from Steve Young in 1989 when I was six. And they used to have a summer camp at Sierra College.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great story. It's better than saying, hey, look, I got a Steve Young autograph. Like, would you meet him at the airport? Like, no, that's a cool story with an autograph to accompany it. A couple say got Joe Montana. There's one here. I think this is a good one. You'll love this one. I have an autographed ball with Jeter and Joe Torre on it.
Nice.
Would never sell it. I got it after a game at the old Yankee Stadium.
Now, that's sweet. Yeah. And that's a prized possession. You're not going to get rid of it. That's cool.
You can get DeMarcus Cousins' autograph tonight because he's back in action at the Golden 1 Center. He'll be taking on, in fact, the entire Sacramento Kings will be taking on the Atlanta Hawks, Dwight Howard and that group who were like, okay, what is going on with the Hawks? We had praised them about being the franchise to make the playoffs the most years in a row. They went through a real, like, rough drought, weren't playing well, and then all of a sudden got it rolling again. And they're not at the top like they were the last couple of years, but they're there and they can still play some pretty decent basketball at times.
Yeah, I feel like they've had a strange year in that, just like you said, Damien, in that they, I don't know, it was probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when it was like, yeah, we're looking at maybe moving Paul Millsap. It's like, wow, that's their all-star. They're changing them. They added Dwight Howard to make them better, to be another piece, to really move this forward. And then it's, we're going to deal Millsap. Well, they didn't deal Millsap. They've kept him. The only move they made was Korver to Atlanta, or excuse me, to the Cavs, added Dunleavy. And it's kind of worked. It's they found their little groove. It, traditionally, over the last, I would say about 3 to 4 years since Coach Budenholzer got there, they became a great ball movement team, an assist team, like the Spurs system. And then now they've added defense, too, with Howard kind of anchoring it. So they're kind of a nice combination. I don't know that they're fantastic at any one thing.
Yeah.
But I would say tonight, if you're watching, look for ball movement and look for some pretty good defense. And in over the years, Cousins has done a great job against Dwight Howard. But when they met the first time, I would say Howard clearly won that matchup.
It's funny that you bring up ball movement and watching the Atlanta Hawks, because I feel like a lot of Sacramento Kings fans who watched the game the other night against the Boston Celtics are going to be closely watching the ball movement this game.
Yeah.
Because Darren Collison spoke after the game about how the ball was moving so freely. He also made the remark about we weren't bickering at the refs. I don't think Darren Collison needed to point that out for anybody to notice.
Yeah.
Especially the Kings fans listening to this show. If you're listening to the show, you're a diehard Kings fan. You want to hear about the Kings. You want to talk about the Kings. You were watching that game closely, and you realized, hey, we're seeing some different things here, which means now that the variable has changed and DeMarcus is back, that's going to be under a bit of a microscope tonight and probably the next couple of days.
Yeah, and I don't know how you feel, but I feel like the ball still moves a little bit with Cousins. He takes the most shots. I mean, that's fine. He's the best player. That's not even in debate. But I think the problem was when it was DeMarcus and Rudy, two ball stoppers. Yep. One is okay, but also DeMarcus is a willing passer, gets double teamed, triple teamed, and it helps the offense when he moves. It sets up guys for open shots. The second thing you're saying, I don't know that that's ever going to change. I think there will be bickering with the refs. And to what level, what they take, how much he gives out. And I still think this is what's going to happen, and it might happen tonight. He gets called a lot for double technicals, and that's an easier thing for officials. Dwight and Cousins, they're tangled in something, even if it seems meaningless. we're going to break this up, boop, double technicals. And it may not seem like in a game, no one's getting an advantage, but that's 17 that gets them one more closer to the Magic, another Magic.
Another one, yeah.
So I think I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Can you imagine if he got two tonight?
Oh, well, it's funny that did you say you saw TNT like the post game last night at all? Or
I didn't see the post game.
Okay.
No.
So they were teasing, you know, the next games coming up, and Sunday night, I guess the Kings and Pelicans is on NBA TV.
Okay.
So they kind of had the little graphic. Oh, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, and I think Charles didn't realize he needed two, but he goes, "Do they play before Sunday?" And then Ernie's like, "What?" He's like, "Well, if they, you know, he might get another technical." And then like everybody on the set was kind of laughing, like, "Why are we even teasing that game if he gets?" He needs two, obviously, but two is still even possible.
We've seen it.
Yeah, it's very possible.
We have seen it. But again, hopefully that doesn't happen. But
yep.
Is there a microscope under – is he under a microscope tonight given he's already at the suspension number,
mm-hmm.
which means every two, you sit.
Yeah.
Every two, you sit. I mean, I know the day after – and before we get into that, let me play off of what you said about ball movement. With DeMarcus, because we talked about that the day after the Celtics game, as a lot of people were, you know, a lot of people made the comparison that the parents weren't home and the kids were having a
yeah.
party and they had a blast. And that's fun and fine. And it was a great win, especially with Isaiah being here and everybody having kind of that emotional attachment to Isaiah Thomas. But the fact is, the ball had been moving pretty well.
Right.
And we tried to point that out the day after the Celtics game, but everybody was still kind of riding too high off of that.
Yes.
But the ball had moved pretty well, as you kind of noted there, since Rudy's injury.
Mm-hmm. And I think it has to. I mean, that's the only way they can do it. So it has. I think that's because, again, they had two ball stoppers. Now you're down to one. But your best player is the guy that still keeps the ball moving a little bit and needs to take the shots. The other part you asked, though, is there a microscope? Someone told me this analogy. I thought it was interesting. They said, imagine if you had speeding tickets, no matter what speeding you were in, like you had two tickets, the next one you can't, like if you get another speeding ticket, you're done. Your license is taken away. And you're going 56 miles an hour in a 55. By definition, you are speeding. You could be pulled over. Nobody is. Nobody does. But would it be a weak ticket? Yeah. But under the circumstances, the guidelines, the restrictions you were put on,
mm-hmm.
don't speed.
Mm-hmm.
And, 56 is extreme, but you know what I
sure.
mean. Like
yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
the example. I'm like, that would be really weak. But so tonight, in same theory, is that a technical foul on DeMarcus? Probably not, but they still count. They still
I don't know that
up.
DeMarcus gets the 56-mile-per-hour
right.
speeding ticket. He's usually
generally
going
not.
About 89.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of times where he's going about 110.
Yeah, but then the point is I was only going 65.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were. That's too much. And I've told you before.
But you have a glove compartment full of freaking speeding tickets.
Right. Don't go. Yeah, so that's where we're at.
And I know people hate that. And
yeah.
I understand that people hate that you're often reffed on reputation. But a lot of things in life happen off reputation.
Absolutely.
You're looked at certain ways because of reputation. And some good.
Yeah.
Some bad.
And it's not a one-time thing. This has been earned over a 7-year career. And as I think we gave the example the other day, tonight a situation where the referee's standing on one side of the court and Ben McLemore comes running up to argue a call and DeMarcus Cousins comes running at the ref to argue a call. DeMarcus is probably going to get a technical.
Yeah.
Ben might, but he might not.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus will.
Yeah.
It's a reputation.
So write this on the whiteboard at the Golden One Center in the locker room. Dear Matt, dear DeMarcus, never charge an official simultaneously
yeah.
again.
It won't end well.
That's
going to
end
yes.
bad for everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
Any matchup in particular we need to watch tonight?
I think it's that one, Dwight and
DeMarcus.
Dwight and DeMarcus. For sure. Yeah, I think. And then I want to see, I don't know what happened with Collison the other night, but I liked it. He played great. Dennis Schroeder is a nice point guard. But if Lawson...
He's had a good year. I thought he's played pretty well this year.
Yeah. Lawson's doubtful. They haven't made a roster adjustment for him. So the minutes they try to steal when Lawson does get rest, but if not, he's going to play 40-plus. I think he has to play 40 minutes.
They have nowhere else to go with they. Wow, they literally have nowhere else
no,
to
I
go.
No, I mean, there's literally not another point guard. Now, DeMarcus can handle the ball. Aflalo handled it. People can handle the ball, but if Lawson is really out, oof. That'll be a challenge. And a lot of minutes, a lot asked for from Darren Collison.
Wow, I'm just, yeah, he better, he better be ready to roll.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I'm thinking about that here. Someone's asking, did Rashid get suspended 10 games when he got 41 texts? No, I think that 41 texts is what implemented the 16 rule.
Exactly.
That is essentially they've gone away from calling it. That's the Rashid Wallace rule.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I would have liked to see what he would have had that season if the rule was he wouldn't have had 41, but or he couldn't have literally because you missed too many games.
Basically, what you're asking is, did Rashid Wallace have any restraint whatsoever?
Right. Yeah.
And this is just one of two games coming up this weekend. Obviously, we'll focus on the Hawks tonight. But they got the Pelicans and Anthony Davis. So DeMarcus has a challenging stretch coming up here these next 2 days. Coming up that night he had off against the Boston Celtics. Now he's got to deal with Dwight. He's got to deal with Anthony Davis coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, though in the past, they haven't guarded each other that much, which I personally like to see. But I think it's smart on both teams' behalf to keep them off of each other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's switches and different things, but a lot of people talk about Cousins being the best big, one of the best bigs. Certainly Anthony Davis is one of the best bigs. Dwight Howard used to be one of the best bigs, but Dwight can still get after it a little bit and put up some big numbers. He's having a nice season for
Dwight Atlanta. Has those flashes
yeah.
where it's like, hey, look, kids.
Yeah.
It's Dwight Howard.
Right. They're all, wow, 18 and 22.
Right.
It's like, whoa.
I would love to see that more from him.
Yeah.
I mean, not tonight.
Right.
You start tomorrow.
Right.
But I'd love to see another dominant big man.
Yeah.
But I think the thing with Dwight is, and maybe this is part of Dwight's problem, is, you know, I mentioned Anthony Davis there. We talked for a split second about Karl Anthony Towns here earlier in the show. And you look at those guys and you look at what Joel Embiid has been able to do, suddenly being just a big man doesn't work.
Right.
Like, Dwight has to refine his skill set. He can't shoot free throws. He can't shoot those, and that's the thing. He can't shoot those either.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what isolates him now, is where you put together a list of big men, and it's like, well, DeMarcus can do this, this, and this. And you mentioned there's probably a point today, there's probably a short stretch today where he's going to bring the ball up the floor.
Yeah. And if Dwight really protects the paint, DeMarcus will shoot threes.
Of course.
Yeah. And he should. I mean, he's a good three-point shooter. He will launch him. But if it goes as has been, this homestand specifically, win tonight against the better Atlanta Hawks and lose to the Pelicans. And then you would have had a homestand where you beat the Celtics, the Warriors, and the Hawks. You lose to the Pelicans, the Suns, and the Bulls. Without Butler. That's kind of – would that be predictable? Would that coming
yes.
in Monday go, well, that sounds about right?
Worst thing that happened right now is for a news alert to come out from the Hawks that Paul Millsap has the flu.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Well, just chalk up an L for the Kings
exactly.
because that's what they do.
Yeah.
It's 2:14 and Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm. Even without football season, call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. Game night coming up at 6 o'clock. Jason Ross back with Kings Live at 7, live from the Golden 1 Center, and then tip off for the Hawks and the Kings at 7:30, all here on Sports 1140. KHDK, your exclusive home for the Sacramento Kings, and your exclusive home for the NBA as well. Coverage of the NBA, coverage of the game tomorrow night. Kevin Durant goes back to Oklahoma City, and kudos to the Thunder for getting a big win against the Cavs last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because I asked this question to Sam Amick about, you know, the Golden State Warriors, they always take that, hey, this is our brother. We're gonna go out there. We're going to do it for him. It's similar, you know, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh said the same thing the first time LeBron went back to Cleveland. Hey, we knew what we were walking into. We were going to protect them. We were going to do everything we can to win this game. And good for them to kind of block that out and to go into another primetime game on TNT, usually the biggest game of the week, and beat the defending champs, who up until 90 minutes before, most people had thought LeBron, K-Love, and Kyrie weren't going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both went out there, did their warmups, and I don't know if it was the players decided they were going to play or if Ty Lue said, hey, look, guys, let's get this one. I need you guys out there. But good for the Thunder. Westbrook with another triple-double, but good for them to be able to block out what's happening tomorrow and get that win last
night. Yeah, laser focus there, because that's one that could – I mean, everybody's been talking to them about the Thunder game. We've been talking about it. The national media, people are, and probably more so even to Durant, but that has been a big game that's been talked about even before the season started. We knew when it was coming. We have to wait till February, till KD goes to OKC. So to be that sharp yesterday, that was a really good win for them.
And now they got back-to-back games where you got the Cavs and the Warriors.
Yeah.
So, all right. There's going to be a lot less focus on, at least I would argue, probably for the entire first quarter, there's not going to be a lot of focus on the actual game being played. Quarters 2, 3, and 4, no matter how close they are or what of a blowout it is, they're going to be focusing on the game. But that first quarter, it's going to be about how loud is the crowd when Kevin Durant touches the ball. Do they have any interaction before the game? I don't think Oklahoma City's airing a video. I know Sam Amick
really
thought otherwise, and you always defer to Sam over any opinion that I have, but I've read a few. I don't think that they are.
Well, then that changes the tone to me, because Kings are pretty famous for that. I mean, like any past player that had pretty good credentials that left here, they would do a nice tribute video. Fans appreciate them, like to cheer them, especially if you didn't get a chance to say goodbye. Their first time back, they get a great reception. From that point on, they're on another team. And this one, I think the tone is set by, one, Russell Westbrook, which, okay, that already kind of points towards we're going to boo Kevin Durant, and the organization. If the organization runs a best of Kevin Durant, emotional thank you, KD, welcome back, I don't know how that overall feel-good turns into boos eventually. I mean, I think it's like, I mean, they still want their team to win.
Sure.
But if the organization does that, that changes the tone of the building. But if they don't do that, then it's just in the starting lineups, you know, out of Texas, 6 foot, you know, I think boos are coming. Because Westbrook's not going to, like, if here's the way it would play out in a lot. If those two guys truly got along and it was okay and they moved on, show the tribute video, you probably see them hug beforehand. Westbrook might even clap during the video. That's not happening.
No.
Not happening.
No.
So I think the tone is on the organization to see if it can change it, if they even care to. I don't think it left under bad terms per se, but he's gone. He's not their property anymore.
Westbrook, if they aired a video, and again, you always defer to Sam. He said he believes they will. I don't think they will, but Westbrook won't even look up.
Yeah.
He won't look up to see it because he'll know cameras are watching him. He won't even look up. He'll be tying his shoe. He'll be looking down. He'll be doing anything but looking at the big screen at that arena.
Yeah.
And that arena, if you watched the game last night, or, you know, Sam noted this during his appearance here on Wednesday, that you can listen to on podcast at any time on iTunes, that's a great arena.
It is.
That is a loud arena, and obviously you know this as well. That is a very emotional arena. And they're going to be locked into this one hours before it starts.
Yeah, I mean,
hours.
The similarities are really, it's very much like here. I mean, it really is where the fans love their players, love their team. So it's one of theirs that left. But I the only comparison, I guess, would be, I'm trying to think, it was weird. I'll say this. If I go back to the best of the Kings, when Vlade left, who was as likable, as lovable as anybody they ever had, went to the Lakers. So he went back to the Lakers. The team you hate the most. Vlade was a Laker. Kings fans still cheered him. He didn't leave in a nap. I mean, I don't know. That's the closest
Kings fan,
thing.
I can't think of anyone they've ever booed.
Oh, they have. Like, Spencer Hawes. There's a few.
Why did the Kings fans boo Spencer Hawes?
Because he openly.
Oh, but didn't he trash the Kings?
Yeah, and openly wanted them to go to. He's from Seattle. He openly was like, yeah, I want this team here. And it was.
Well, yeah, just, that feels kind of
that was a little
different.
Too close,
like,
to the heart.
Bobby was never booed. Mike
no.
wasn't booed.
No, they're cheered. Well, they didn't say.
Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant hasn't said anything bad at all about Oklahoma City.
But I guess the only comparison would be if we go back to that, and for whatever reason, Weber wasn't in support of Vlade, I guess, right? Because Weber would have been the best player still, and Vlade went there, and people keep asking Weber about it, and no, we haven't talked.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of what Russell's doing. And I'm not even blaming Russell for that, but and then it's, wait, wow, Webb's our guy, and he's not talking to Vlade. So, yeah, I don't know that we can – that's the only thing I can think of as a comparison to here, but that didn't happen.
It's the more, you know, we hear about this, the closer we get to this, the more we read about it. These guys weren't friends.
But I don't think they were enemies.
No, they weren't. It's not like they weren't. Those guys weren't like coworkers who didn't get along. They were just. It's like a guy you work with.
Yeah, they existed.
But they were just two really high-profile guys.
Yeah.
But nothing I have read or have seen or have heard leads me to believe that these guys were friends at all.
Yeah, and I think they would support each other. They had each other's back while they coexisted. But it looks like Durant is having the time of his life now.
Sure.
I think he's happier.
And that's the thing that I really feel bad about what he'll probably go through on Saturday, because he is so... He's not confrontational.
No.
He's not LeBron.
No.
Like, LeBron will puff his chest up. He'll act like those boos didn't bother him. He'll say, I'm not from Cleveland. I'm from Akron. He'll try to be the villain. It didn't work, but he'll try. That's not KD.
Yeah.
Even when KD gets mad and that he went through a stretch of, like, you know, 4 or 5 games where he was mad at the media. He kept, you know, cussing at the media. It's like, dude, you're Kevin Durant, man.
Right.
Stop. Like, this doesn't fit your personality. That's not you.
That's why it was weird to see him get at Draymond the other day at Golden One Center, and I think it would bother him if they boo him. I do.
I do too.
Yeah,
and that's why I feel for him, because I think they're going to level him.
Yeah, he's and not a bad guy.
And it goes back to, you know, if Ken was here with us, he would say he left his team to go to the team that beat them.
He did.
We know the one thing that we know about how Russell Westbrook felt that day that KD signed, and he, you know,
cupcakes,
the cupcakes line. Yeah. But the one quote that was put into that article where the cupcake thing was discussed was, he went to the team that just beat us.
Yeah. That hurts.
Like, he went to it almost like of all places, like them.
Yeah.
Like, you went to them, and you nailed it, Jason. Russell's setting the tone. And you know, not that he's doing anything, but he's kind of set the tone for the rest of the fans to be like, yeah, oh, wait, you're signing here for how long? Oh, you're going to sign another massive extension in a couple of months to be with us for another 5 years? Oh, you're our guy.
Yeah.
You're going to get the two, you know, because remember, DeMarcus, that $219 million, that's available for like 5 or 6 players. Russell Westbrook is one of them,
yeah.
And he's going to get that $219 this summer.
And as much as he doesn't like to talk about this, imagine, let's say it plays out differently, where they are in full support of Kevin Durant. You know, like intros, after that they're rooting for the Thunder. Well, Westbrook will be asked about that. Like,
sure.
What'd you think of it puts him in a weird spot too. Like, what'd you think of the great ovation your ex-teammate got?
And you know what? I think what happened is – He'll get asked about it, and I think his response, whether they cheer or boom, will be exactly the same. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't worried about it.
Come on.
No matter what, whether they boom
was,
or cheer
right.
him or confetti falls from the sky,
yeah.
I wasn't paying attention.
Not confetti guy.
Yeah, but not the confident confetti guy.
Yes.
Not the confident confetti guy. But, I mean, a great weekend of basketball ahead. And, again, it starts tonight with the Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks at the Golden One Center. And, of course, here live on Sports 1140, KHDK. We'll come back. We'll stick with basketball. We got Raider news coming up at about 2:45. Reggie McKenzie thinks about Alden Smith. And coming up next, what does Magic Johnson want to do with the Los Angeles Lakers? We'll tell you. Wow. He dropped the old school John Cena intro song. It's a little known fact. Our producer Chris Verlade loves John Cena, loves him. Favorite wrestler ever.
So can I ask you guys both of you, if I did, because when Deuce is in here for their Kings stuff and Chris,
Deuce, I've heard another big John Cena fan.
Yeah, well they do all like the intros. Like if I played the intro songs, how quickly would you guys get them?
Very quickly.
Like you know, 3 beats?
Sadly fast.
All like, of you?
Like, dude, you guys are losers fast.
Okay, then we need to do this.
A showdown between me, Chris, and Deuce?
Sure.
Oh, I'm down.
Okay.
I'm down. We'll have to do it.
What would be the power rankings? Like, what's the ratings? Who's the favorite in that?
I think, you think Deuce? I probably would have put Chris first.
Not you, if you're saying 2 or 3 seconds.
But Chris is on it.
Yeah.
I think I'd go power rankings for wrestling theme songs. Chris would be first. Me and Deuce would be battling for the 2
like
seed.
How far? You said that was old. Like, how far do we have to go back? And how quick?
Well, that's like mid-2000s.
How often do they change them?
Some don't change forever. Vince McMahon has had the same theme music since 1999. That song was, what, mid-2000s? When he had the hip hop gimmick, that's when I met him and got that autograph.
We need to do this.
I think Chris. I think he played that because Chris is upset that I put John Cena on my Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. He is not. I'm just talking about longevity. When you look at Hogan and Rock and Austin, they all drew massive money. No one has done it as long as John Cena has.
Okay. I just want to see.
Jason's like, to whatever.
No, I just want to be the one that plays the songs, the intros, and if I can get one that stumps all three, that would be like.
Oh, I doubt it. I won't be able to find one. I don't think so.
Challenge.
I don't think so.
I look forward to that. We'll do that sometime.
We could probably do it with television theme songs, too. I'm good with television.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, me too.
I used to do that back in my wacky FM days.
Yes.
We would do television theme songs. Shout out to Anna. She tweeted us. She's trying desperately to listen to the show, but her coworkers want to discuss work with her.
Oh, come on.
It's getting on her nerves.
Work gets in the way. Yeah.
So, Anna, we appreciate you so much. Talked a lot of NBA there with the Kings playing tonight. Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City, back in Oklahoma City on Saturday. And Magic Johnson, he's brought back into the Los Angeles Lakers. He has this, like, new advisory role, and he says, I want to call the shots. Okay, that's a hell of a way to make a first impression.
Yeah.
He has ideas. Remember Magic said a couple of days ago that the Lakers, I think we talked to Kerry Champion about this, who is a diehard Laker fan, the Lakers are just one superstar away from being on par with the Warriors and the Spurs.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know who that is. It LeBron?
Or
Steph?
Yeah,
like,
or
I don't
KD,
know what that's. Yeah. What is the superstar that you're referring to?
Yeah, they're further away from that. But what do you think Magic, I mean, is he calling, like, is he inferring to all the shots? Like, who our next coach is? What draft picks? What, like, a GM type role?
That's what it sounds like. That's certainly what it sounds like.
I mean,
I don't think he's going to oust Mitch Kupchak like that. But
I have no problem with him being in the room, but, like, what is that? Again, are you owning the team? Full ownership? I don't know. But he knows basketball.
That's no fine. Question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does. It didn't work out with him as a coach. He's never done he's always had these honorary roles.
Yeah,
like,
just
they're not
tinkers just enough.
It's like just to say, hey, Magic is here.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Right.
But it appears that he wants a little bit more than that now. Like, he wants something.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's been true to that organization. A great Laker, obviously. Not that they owe him that, but yeah, if he's also willing to take some of the heat, then go for it.
Yeah, why not? I'm not sure if he's still there. Keith, are you still there?
Man, this is the longest I've held it.
Man,
my
apologies, Keith. What's going on, man?
But for Jason, you guys, man, it's cool, man. No worries. And real quick, man, Vince McMahon, his theme song was No Chance. I mean, to me, that's classic.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. He uttered the line on TV. They made a theme song out of it, and they never did away with it back in 1999.
Okay, so on to my call. We're approaching the trade deadline. So I'm focusing on the top-tier teams, you know, the first five or six teams out west, not the east. My question is to you guys, what teams out west, other than San Antonio and Golden State, need to make a move to bolster rosters? I'm very impressed with Utah Jazz. They're 8-12 versus the better teams. But, man, they sure can defend with the best of them. But what teams out west needs to make a move? I know probably the Clippers come to mind at first.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think that it's Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, which is my team with MVP, James Harden. I think he's kind of got that locked up for the most part. But I think the Clippers make a move. I mean, who comes to mind? I mean, and what move is that to be made?
Well, I think you nailed it, Keith. I'm guessing the first team that popped in both of our heads, it sounds like all three of our heads was the Clippers.
Yeah, I would say anybody five and below, all the way to the bottom, has to make moves. Now, through four, whether that's the Warriors, like you said, the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Jazz don't have to, but it would help them, you know, any kind of tweak. But the others aren't good enough, and it depends on what kind of moves they're making to even get them in the conversation or better their future. But I would say everybody below the Jazz should look at making moves.
And real quick, too, before I go, because, you know, I got to give my guy Harden credit here. When Steve Nash won MVP 2 years in a row, his numbers were the way Harden's numbers were. If Harden average 1.6 more rebounds, he'd be averaging a triple-double. You know, Westbrook's averaging 10.2 assists, so he's kind of teetering down towards that 9-point whatever. So I'm saying Houston's winning. If Harden didn't get it 2 years ago, when Howard missed half the season, Patrick and Timo missed most of the playoffs or all the playoffs, and they still gave it to Steph Curry along with Draymond and Clay on his team, and Harden led that team to 56 wins, two of Western Conference Finals appearance, then I don't know what Harden can do to get the award. For crying out loud, last year he made no NBA all teams. They let Cousins be on the team, and their excuse was Houston had a bad year. Well, gee, Portland had an okay year last year. The Kings had a dysfunctional year, and Cousins made an all-NBA team. So, I mean, I said it before, but it's something with the Rockets and James Harden that this league doesn't like. I may be nitpicking or maybe I'm biased, but it seems like they make excuse to give him not the award compared to giving Westbrook the award. Oh, he has nobody. Well, for crying out loud, Harden had nobody 2 years ago. Harden missed Capella. Clint broke his leg a month ago. OKC has Enes Kanter and Adams. Granted, Kanter's hurt, but, I mean, these rosters are comparable. So to act like Harden is just playing with a much better roster, and by the way, real quick too, guys, people were picking OKC to finish above the Rockets on TV, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV. Nobody had Houston finishing above OKC. It was all about Westbrook and what he can do. And now all of a sudden, oh, the rosters are not comparable. No. It starts and ends with James Harden. And at some point, I mean, we got to be consistent here across the board. He's the MVP. And I don't know how anybody can argue that. But, hey, you know, I mean, I'm a Rockets fan. I'm probably a little biased, but I'm not being biased after looking at his stats and the Rockets team. They've lost 17 games this year, and they've gone through a stretch to where they played bad basketball, and they still only have 17 losses. But, hey, I mean, can you guys just comment on that, and then I'll take the question off here.
We appreciate you, Keith. That was a passionate argument for James Harden. I want you in the room when that vote is being done.
Yeah.
It all comes down to this. If Westbrook doesn't average a triple-double, I don't think it's a conversation because it feels like it's James Harden. I'm hearing people say now it's James Harden, and Russell Westbrook is averaging a triple-double.
Yeah.
He's fifth all-time in triple-doubles just, I think, off of what he's done this year. I mean, it's incredible. He has 26 triple-doubles. I'm sorry, what he's done to this point this year, fifth all-time on a season. And he's behind Oscar Robertson. Mm-hmm. Oscar Robertson he's like 1, 3, and 4. And 2, I think, is Wilt. But Wilt doesn't count in any stat because it's insane. But I don't know how you look at a stat that hasn't been done in 50-some-odd years, that hasn't been done in this era of basketball, and say this guy isn't the most valuable player.
Yeah, he's done just enough winning, right? I mean, because we still value winning, too. And he's going to average a triple-double. He's going to make it.
I think so, too.
I mean, we're 50-plus. We're well past halfway. I know Keith said he's at 10.2, but that means he has to go games, a couple games without any, to get him closer to drop down when you've gone this far in. But also, though, Harden's doing some historically good things, too, that need to get acknowledged. And if they finish 2 or 3, which they're 3 right now, that's a great battle.
And he's right. And one thing that Keith said is really right. A lot of things he said. The roster's fine, but no one saw this from the Rockets.
No.
Especially with D'Antoni there, you're looking at it like, my gosh, they are appeasing to Harden in a vicious way. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they're appeasing to Harden, and it's worked out brilliantly.
Yeah, and I can't think of a guy that's changed. I don't know. For me, I'm a basketball fan, a junkie. I love basketball. I didn't really like the Rockets in Harden, but now
me
I
neither.
Do. I enjoy watching them play.
They're must-watch
TV. It's weird that it's changed from one season like that.
Absolutely incredible. Couldn't agree more with you, Jason Ross. We'll come back. Update on your Oakland Raiders. What does Reggie McKenzie think about the Aldon Smith situation? We'll let you know as the lowdown continues in 4 minutes on Sports 1140 KHDK. I don't think I've stopped listening to New Edition since that three-part documentary, movie, mini-series thingy.
So
it wasn't
good.
A documentary.
So good.
It's 247, and Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm even without football season. Call 800-555. That's too many fives. Call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. And while you're at it, it's time to visit Sharif Jewelers for that special Valentine's Day gift.
Well done.
Thank you. You got that special Valentine's Day gift already?
No.
Okay. That's all right. Still plenty of time.
Plenty of time,
Jay Ross. I'll remind you on Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'll just remind. We'll write it on the board.
If it's on the board, I'll remember.
If it's on the board, yes, yeah. Indeed. Reggie McKenzie was asked about Aldon Smith and the NFL seemingly being prepared to reinstate him. Now, again, that was a report from Ian Rappaport saying the NFL is likely to just table this till March. Barring any setbacks, he will be reinstated. He'll be free to join the Raiders for workouts, training camps, and obviously the season ahead. Reggie McKenzie, essentially, to shorten it down, says, great, we can't wait to have him.
Good.
Just thought that was worth telling everybody.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. I'm anxious to see if a fully healthy and ready to roll Aldon Smith can still find it and what it would look like on that defense. I mean, I think there's some intrigue there, and I personally don't want to see him have any other setbacks. That would not be good. If he gets his life in order, the guy can play football. Let's see if he can thrive again.
Yeah, I have to imagine, and I could certainly be wrong on this, any other setback marks the end of Aldon Smith.
I would think so. I mean, I like people getting second chances, but we're not talking about second chance. We're talking
about sixth,
seventh and eighth and all that.
Yeah, so we're up there.
That's too much.
Yeah, he was on the game yesterday, and he said he's still on the suspension list, and that will be revisited in March by Commissioner Goodell. We're still waiting until he signs off on everything. We won't count on him until he's able to get off that list and be available to us. That's a decision that's going to be made at that point. We'll welcome him in if and when that happens. So I think Reggie McKenzie there is also trying to tape the diplomatic approach as, look, man, you're not back here yet.
Yeah.
You still have some work to do.
Yeah, get everything right. Get everything else right. Then we'll worry about the football and then be great for us.
The other note surrounding the Raiders is, I think, was it the Raiders president said, no worries. Don't worry about that, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that we're good.
Got lots
financing, not a problem.
Lots of people out there.
He didn't elaborate.
Right.
I just want to point that out. He didn't elaborate at all, but dropped the old, hey, no big deal. We're good. We'll find that couple hundred million dollars elsewhere.
Okay. And a lot of people said that. It may not be that big of a setback. Okay. Yes. In theory, just find the next people.
Damn it. It sure sounds like one.
That's a lot of money,
though. That sure sounds like a setback.
That's a lot of money.
And if this isn't a setback, if them losing all of that money between, was it Goldman Sachs and the Adelson, all of that, you lose all of that and it really is no big deal, then I have desperately underestimated the Las Vegas market.
Yes, I'm with you.
Because if you just replace that much money that quickly, then my sincerest apologies to the market of Las Vegas for an NFL football team.
Yeah, then maybe the NFL owners that are for it saw that too. I mean, maybe that's viable, more than viable, and they'll figure out they can, if they ever need to move another team in the Bay Area, they can, but not now if that happens.
Yeah. Let's get to Michael, man, before we get out of here. Michael, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
Like I was telling the gentleman that answered the phone, Harden, as far as MVP, he plays defense like the fat kid at recess. There's no way that he's ever going to be MVP when people just blow by him. He doesn't care one bit about it.
You know what, and Michael, then, have you watched him? Have you watched like complete Rocket games this year, or have you watched like a combination of different Rocket games this year?
Combination.
He's not great. And the Rockets aren't great, but they're not the joke that they were last year.
Yeah, it just seems like he gives up on a lot of plays, and that's frustrating. When you have that kind of once-in-a-lifetime talent, to see him give up on a lot of plays is frustrating.
Do you think it matters, though, Michael? Honestly, I mean, I know what your point is. You'd rather be a more complete player, but people critique Nash. People have critiqued Curry for not defending. I don't know that it matters.
I think the only reason that I think about it is because I bleed Kings, and when we were amazing, that was the knock on us, was that we would run up the score, but when it came time to drop the hammer, we couldn't stop the opponent, and that was hard. And then second, if the Raiders, who have just amazing fans, can't stand Raiders, but if they can't sell out their own stadiums, how in the world are they going to ever sell out a Vegas stadium where it's people coming and going? I just can't imagine. It just doesn't seem realistic that they would get even in the 30,000s. I don't see it.
Well, remember, and Michael, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you, and thank you for holding, man. Have a great weekend. It's not just the Raiders you're selling in Las Vegas. It's the NFL.
Correct.
And when you're going into a new market, Or in the case of the two Los Angeles teams, you're going back to a market. You're not selling the Rams or the Chargers yet. And in Las Vegas, you're not selling the Raiders. You're selling the NFL.
Yeah, it would be the most unique setup. I mean, I think you want to build your season ticket base wherever you go. That's the one question mark I have about Vegas. But I don't doubt that people would go to the games. I just wonder who that fan base is. Who the, you know, it's almost like anytime you open. Right now, we're saying at Kings games, well, everybody wants to see the arena. Okay, you've gone there once. You go twice. Do you go three times?
Yeah.
Or are you going once?
Yeah.
Are you going to become a season ticket holder? Well, in Vegas, I could see. I think I would do that. Hey, make it a trip. Oh, it's during football season. Oh, wait, do the Raiders play? Well, let's plan it around there. Oh, they play. Doesn't even matter. The Giants. All right, want to see the game too as part of this trip on the weekend because I want to see them play. But I'm going once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going all the time? Who's living there and going? That's to me the intrigue.
You know, one of the biggest reasons I love going to the arena is the food. I can eat so much food there.
Yeah.
I've told you I was going tonight. I love Friday night games at the arena.
Yeah.
One, because of the music. As you know, we do our Flashback Friday thing every week, and it's just the music that we grew up to and love. But I just love the food. That's one of the things. I'll keep going back to that arena even if I had to pay for the food.
What's been your favorite?
Lowbrow.
Yeah.
Or Lowbrow. Yeah, I'm going to screw it up. My apologies if I'm screwing it up. I think it's Lowbrow.
Oh, Lowbrow. Uh-huh.
It's on the top. It's on the party deck.
Yeah.
And they have, like, vegan sausages.
Okay.
Super good. Their fries are amazing. That's my spot.
Wow.
That is my absolute
good
spot.
For you.
And, you know, we walk 1,000 places. Oh, this has veggie such and such, and this has vegan such and such. So that's what's really great about
there you
our
go.
Arena.
So you found your spot.
I found it.
Like it.
I found it, man. I'll be there tonight. J-Ross obviously will be there tonight. Kings Live coming up 7 o'clock. We'll have game night coming your way at 6:30. Tip-off for your Sacramento Kings and Atlanta Hawks coming up at 7:30. Any final thoughts on the week?
One thing I'll say for tonight, because so much attention is going to Kevin Durant and his return to OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, the Warriors play in Memphis. Memphis has gotten them twice.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by that game. I don't think there's anybody that's got the Warriors number completely, but with all their focus on tomorrow, perfect time for Memphis to play them. I know they've beaten them twice, so they'll have the Warriors' attention, but when they came back on that huge comeback at Oracle to beat them after they thumped them, I went, okay, wait a minute. And I don't know that Memphis could beat them in a series, but if you beat them a third time, that's saying something. I mean, the Warriors are clearly the best team. But I think this weekend's a fun one for the Warriors to see KD's return tomorrow, but certainly how they play Memphis tonight because Randolph and Gasol lit them up the last time. Physical, aggressive team. They defended the guards physically with Conley and Allen. That might be a fun game tonight.
Lowbrow, duck fat fries. The Tex Nation is all over it.
There you go.
Nah, I stay away from the duck fat.
Oh, you're right.
But Tex Nation knows all about them.
Okay.
It's amazing. That you said that you talk about Memphis and that game coming up. You scheduled one of the biggest games of the year as the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So it doesn't
I can't figure out the the NBA.
Yeah.
I can't figure out their scheduling for nothing.
Yeah.
Not to mention we're waiting for the All-Star break, which is supposed to be the midpoint of the season, but we're like 50-some-odd games.
Oh, yeah, well past it.
It's like the All-Star break is going to end and the season is going to be really, really close to being over.
Yeah. Down to the final 25 or so.
Tex Nation, 44-11-40. Want to shout out Kevin. He sent us a text, man. I love your show, but I love it even more when it's over. Reason, I live in Arkansas. Work 9 to 5. When your show is over, I get to go home. Great show. I text him back, man. That's great. It's awesome. You live in Arkansas. Really? He said, yeah, I grew up in California, but moved out here for the wife to get her PhD. SEC football town is nice, but Kings games don't start till 9:30.
Oh, man.
Still love the station. So, Kevin, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
You can listen to us anywhere in the world.
Yep.
On your radio.com app, you can also get every single solitary second of this show delivered right to your phone shortly after it's over. Just subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. Tex Nation, we thank you so much for being with us this week. All of the phone calls, we greatly appreciate it. Had a really fun week. We'll be back Monday. Ken Rudolph will be back with us. To our producer, Chris Frelad, we appreciate all your hard work. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. We'll see you Monday.